आत्मावृत्ताम् अविज्ञायाः ततस्य बहुभिक्षुकी किं न प्रातीक्षसे अस्माकम् इहान् बाली भुजो यथा
You beggar, since you don't understand your position, why should you unnecessarily talk so much? Don't all of you wait at our house, depending on us for your livelihood, like crows? Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Crows have no independent life. They fully depend on the remnants of foodstuffs thrown by householders into the garbage tank. Therefore, because a Brahmin depends on his disciples, when Sharmishta was heavily rebuked by Devayani, she charged Devayani with belonging to a family of crow-like beggars. It is the nature of women to fight verbally at even a slight provocation. As we see from this incident, this has been their nature for a long, long time. Hearing in the story of Maharaj Yayati, who was one of the sons of King Nahusha. The eldest son, whose name was Yati, refused to accept the kingdom because he wanted to dedicate his entire attention to the path of self-realization. Meanwhile, Maharaj Nahusha, he committed a very bad offense against Sachi Devi, the wife of King Indra, and therefore, due to the reaction of that offense, he was cursed and became a serpent on the earth. So he enthroned his son Yayati as the king. It is described by Shukadev Goswami that the daughter of Shukracharya, Devayani, was one time with her very good friend, Sharmishta. They decided to take bath in a lake without clothes. Sharmishta was a Kshatriya. Devayani was a Brahmin by birth. As they were bathing, they were joking and laughing and splashing each other very affectionately with the water. At that time, Lord Shiva, on his bull Nandi, came to that place along with his consort Parvati. Devayani and Sharmishta felt very much ashamed. So very quickly they came to the shore of the lake and put on clothes.
Accidentally, Sharmishta put the clothes of Devayani on her own body.
Friendship in this material world is so conditional.
When it suits our senses, we can become best of friends.
But when it creates a obstruction to our egoistic ideas of enjoyment, friends can immediately become enemies. This is the bodily concept of life. Especially in this age of Kali Yuga, quarrel and hypocrisy, whether we are friends or relatives or god-brothers or god-sisters, as long as Krishna is not in the center of our relationship, at any given moment, there can be so much conflict and antagonism amongst us. So Devayani, she was so offended
at an innocent mistake. She began to chastise Sarmishta. What kind of nonsense you are doing? You have taken the clothes of a Brahmin and put it on your body? This is like a dog wanting to take the offering meant for Vishnu. Oh, see the activities of this maidservant, Sarmishta. Disregarding all etiquette, she has put on my dress, just like a dog snatching clarified butter meant for use in a sacrifice. She also compared it to a Shudra taking the charge of Vedic knowledge. Upon hearing this, Sarmishta became very, very angry and breathing heavy like a serpent that was just trampled upon. She speaks these verses that we are reading today. That you Brahmins, you are completely dependent like beggars at the house of us Kshatriyas, taking whatever remnants we give you just like a crow. Hare Krishna. Sarmishta was so angry, she kicked up Devayani and threw her in a well, and whatever clothes she had, Sarmishta took those clothes of Devayani and left. Devayani was laying in a well with no clothes. What to do? At that time, the great king Yayasi, by the inconceivable will of Providence, was thirsty and happened to be coming by that place and decided to get water from that well. When he reached down to get the water from the well, he happened to see a beautiful woman with no clothes. So out of etiquette, he took his upper garment and gave it to her to cover herself, and then with his hand, he pulled her up. Devayani, she said to him, "You have already touched my hand. That means we are married. You have given your hand to me." Yayati Maharaj was thinking, "How is this possible? You are a Brahmin, I am a Kshatriya." But she began to explain how there was once a disciple of her father, Shukracharya, named Kacha. And she wanted to marry him. But Kacha didn't want to marry the daughter of his guru. So he said no. So she cursed him, and then he cursed her that you will not be able to marry a Brahmin. So she said to King Yayati, "It is the will of Providence. I'm supposed to marry you." He was very attractive, so it did not take much argumentation to convince him. Anyways, Devayani, she went home and told her father, Shukracharya, that Sarmishta threw me in the well and took my clothes, and I want to marry King Yayati. Shukracharya was so angry. He went to the father of Sarmishta. Meanwhile, the father, he knew what was happening. So when Shukracharya came, he came to the roadside and started offering obeisances and offering prayers and doing all sorts of nice service for Shukracharya to pacify him. Shukracharya said, "There must be punishment for this." Sarmishta's father said, "Anything you desire, I am your servant." Shukracharya replied, "The desire of my daughter is that she will marry King Yayati, and along with many others, your daughter will be the maidservant, slave of my daughter." So the Kshatriya father agreed, knowing that his whole dynasty would be destroyed if Shukracharya was too angry. So, when Yayati came for the daughter's hand, Shukracharya made one condition, that you can marry my daughter, but this one maidservant, Sharmishta, you never be alone with her. So he agreed. So they were married, and from Devayani's womb, Yadu was born, of whom the Yadu dynasty is named. And some other children were born. But one day, in a secluded place, Sharmishta approached Yayati and said that, "I am a helpless lady, and it is the duty of a Kshatriya to fulfill my desires." So he was thinking, this is the will of providence, and it is my duty as a Kshatriya. So he fulfilled her desire, and soon she became pregnant. When the word came to Devayani, she was so angry. She immediately went to her father, and Yayati, he met her on the roadside and was following behind her, begging, "Please, please." He was holding her feet. "Please, don't go to your father. Give me forgiveness." But she was not pacified. When Shukracharya heard the news, he became so disgusted. He cursed King Yayati to lose his youth and become an old, deformed invalid. King Yayati was very much disturbed, but he was very intelligent. He said, "Actually, what you have done to me is not to the interest of your daughter, because she's very young and she needs me to fulfill her desires." Shukracharya, thinking of the welfare of his daughter, he said, "If you can find someone who will willingly exchange your old age and invalidity for their youth, then you can be young again and enjoy with my daughter." King Yayati went to his children. First he went to Yadu and asked him, "Please change your youth and become old like me." Yadu very philosophically presented that the goal of life is self-realization, and if I do not properly go through the various stages of the ashrams, then I will not achieve self-realization properly. So for that higher goal, I cannot accept your proposal, my dear father. Srila Prabhupada explains in this regard, actually, Yadu Krishnan was in his heart. Yadu knew that Krishna would be his descendant, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And by accepting this position of invalidity, it would interfere with the natural plan of God to become his descendant. So actually, he refused for the principle of devotional service. Therefore, he is glorified. The other sons, they refused because they didn't want to give up their sense gratification. Therefore, they are condemned. But the youngest amongst them, whose name was Puru, he gladly accepted. He said, "One should anticipate the desire of his father and fulfill that. That is first class. To be obedient and follow the order of the father, that is second class. To obey the order of the father in an irreverential mood is third class. To disobey the father is fourth class. I will gladly accept your old age." So Puru became old and Yadu became young. And with Devayani, they enjoyed so much sense gratification. In so many beautiful, secluded places, they were together. I believe it was for 1,000 years, they just enjoyed like anything. Meanwhile, Yayati was the king of the world, and he was also performing yajnas for Lord Vishnu. And due to his yajnas for Vishnu, he gradually became disgusted with sense gratification. He became, as we say in the West, he became fried out with all of this material pleasure. So one day he said to his wife Devayani, "I want to tell you a story. One time there was a he-goat, and this goat was eating nice grasses. And he came upon a well, and he looked in the well, and there was a she-goat in the well. So he took his sharp horns and made ways, so lowered the platform of the well so that the she-goat could get out. And then the he-goat and the she-goat got married. And they were enjoying, like anything, sense gratification. But what happened is there were many other she-goats. And one time, this he-goat had sex with another she-goat. So the original she-goat that was found in the well became very angry and went to the Brahmin who was maintaining them. And he was so disturbed that he cut off the he-goat's testicles. The he-goat was very much upset. But then he somehow or other appeased the Brahmin, who by mystic power put them back on him. And the he-goat and she-goat enjoyed for 1,000 years. And after all this enjoyment, they became completely disgusted. Because after all, sense gratification can never satisfy, no matter how much one gets. It is like putting butter on fire. The more you put, the more inflamed the desire becomes. So after all these years and all this enjoyment, they were simply frustrated. And they decided to give up sense gratification once and for all. Now, my dear wife, you should know that I am that he-goat and you are that she-goat. And I think we should give up sense gratification and we should seek the path of renunciation and liberation from all material bondage by focusing our attention on the service of the Lord. So Devayani, upon hearing this, she meditated on the Supreme Lord, and Yayati Maharaj went into the forest and became a great renunciate. But before leaving, he gave the youth back to Puru and made him the king, although he was the youngest, because he performed such nice service to his father. In this particular verse that we are reading today, we understand how it is that when our own personal egoistic desires are prominent in our life, how frail and volatile all our relationships are. In this world, we see through history and in the present day how even father and son, they become terrible enemies when sense gratification is an interference. Even brothers and brothers, even friends and friends, and if Krishna is not in the center, even God brothers and God brothers, God sisters and God sisters. So we must be very, very cautious and careful to keep Krishna in the center in our lives and be detached from our own egoistic ideas and keep the desire of Guru and Krishna always in the focus. The Prabhupada said, you can show your love for me by how you cooperate with one another to push forward this great mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. To cooperate is one of the greatest austerities we can possibly embark upon in this age of Kali. But there is no greater austerity that will please our Guru and Krishna more than this, if that cooperation is based on the real principles of devotional service. Great acharyas have preached the principles of devotional service through the great Guru Parampara. Today is the disappearance day of Sripad Madhvacharya, whom we are so dearly indebted to, as he is one of our great spiritual forefathers. In fact, he is one of the founder acharyas of our sampradaya. We are known as the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. With your permission, I would like to speak briefly about the glorious life of Sri Madhvacharya. How can we speak sufficiently or adequately about such a great acharya. But as a bird goes as high as he can in the sky, the unlimited sky, so we should try our best according to our capacity to speak the glories of these great souls for our own purification. Sri Padmadvacharya is known to be an avatar of Vayu. We know through the great scriptures that two previous avatars of Vayu were very, very special, great devotees. In Lord Ram's Leela, Hanumanji appeared, and in Krishna's Leela, Bhimasena appeared. They were both very, very loved and known for their pure unalloyed devotion and their supernatural power. Similarly, Madhvacharya was endowed with these qualities. His father was of the Shivali Brahmin caste of the South Kannada district of South India. He resided in a small village about 8 miles away from Udupi, named Pajaka Kshetra. He wanted to have a son. He was a very great devotee. But after many efforts with his wife, he was not able to bear any children. So he decided to perform yajna every single day. Madhya Geha Bhat would go walking all the 8 miles to Udupi, where there is two very famous temples, the Chandramaleshwar Mandir and the Ananteshwar Mandir. At the Ananteshwar Mandir, he would offer prayers and offer yajna every day. His desire was to have a son who would be a great, great devotee, who would restore religious principles in this age of Kali. He performed this activity every single day for many years. Then one day when there was a great festival, the Vijay Murti of Ananteshwar was on a palanquin, and the pujari just became inspired. Ananteshwar started speaking through him. He said, a great son who will be an avatar of Vayu will be born soon in this world to restore the true principles of religion. Madhya Geha understood that this must be the message for me in reciprocation. Very soon after this, his wife became pregnant, and a beautiful child was born, endowed with all the 32 attributes of a great Mahapurusha. He named the child Vasudev. From his very infancy, he was revealing supernatural powers. When he was just a little infant, only supposed to drink the milk from mother, one time the mother and father went out, and the child was left with the maidservant. The nurse was inattentive, and there was a big mountain of gram dal, very difficult to digest. And it was meant for so many weeks of preparation for the family and also for the cows. Anyways, within a few minutes, this little infant baby ate the whole mountain. When the mother and father came home and they saw that it was all gone, they calling doctors and everything, thinking our son will die. But he showed absolutely not the slightest trace of any difference in his personality. Another day, they were a little inattentive and they couldn't find him. Where is he? He was just a baby. He hadn't even yet learned how to walk properly. They were searching all over Pajakakshetra, everywhere. The whole town was looking for him, but no one could find. Then this was early in the morning. In the evening, they saw their little son. He was hanging from the tail of a gigantic, ferocious bull. He was taking a ride all day long. When he was only a child of 5 years old, Vasudev was given the sacred thread by his father. One day he was out playing in the, at that time, a little more forested than today, and a terrible, ferocious demon. From the time of the Mahabharata, this ferocious demon was still existing. His name was Maniman, and he took the form of a terrible snake. And he came, and with all his venom and all his anger, he attacked the little five-year-old child, Vasudev. Hare Krishna. He was roaring. It was a terrible situation. The little Vasudev took his toe and pushed the demon's head with his toe and crushed his skull and killed him. Hare Krishna. His mother, because he was late, and on other occasions also, when his mother would not see him, she would become so much worried about his welfare, she would call him. And he loved his mother so much, just to make her happy. Wherever he happened to be, even if it was several kilometers away, when she would call, with one jump, he would go before her, instantly. When he was just a little boy, he was endowed with such a fabulous memory. He was mastering grammar, he was mastering the scriptures. All of the residents of Pajakshetra were simply amazed to see the unparalleled scholarship of this child. When he was around 8 years old or so, little in that range, and he completed his preliminary studies, he left home and went to Udupi, went to the ashram of a very great sannyasi named Achyuta Preksha, and became a brahmachari in the ashram. Then he decided that he wanted to take sannyas, Hare Krishna. Meanwhile, his father and mother, they loved him so much, and he was the only son. They didn't want him living in the brahmachari ashram at all. So the father went to the ashram and was pleading with him, come home. But he said, I am going to take the path of renunciation in this life. He's very firm and resolute. And there was a big argument between the father and the son. At one point, the argument came to the extent, first the father was weeping and crying, then he was, all I have done for you, then he was chastising him and ordering him, and then there was a debate. And finally the father understood, I cannot win by debating, I cannot win by chastising. So he fell at the feet of his son, Vasudev, and prayed, please come home. When Vasudev saw his father at his feet, he said, this is a very auspicious omen. Because the only time a father ever touches the feet of the son is if the son is a sannyasi. So then the father went home and told the wife, and they said, let us try again. So they went back to the ashram in Udupi, but by that time he was on pilgrimage with Achyuta Preksha, his Guru Maharaj. So the father somehow found the place, And Madhva, he said, you are the only son. So Vasudev said, all right, I will not take sannyas if I'm the only son. But if you have another son, then you will give me blessings to take sannyas. Father said yes. Soon after that, another son was born. Vasudev came home. At this time he was 12 years old and said, now another brother is born, please give me permission. The father and mother, they couldn't bear the idea, 12-year-old boy taking sannyas, we cannot give you permission. So Vasudev said, all right, I will give you two choices. Either you do not give me permission, and you will never see my face for the rest of your lives. Or you give me permission and you will see my face regularly as a sannyasi. So they gave permission. They gave blessings. How heartfelt these blessings were, it doesn't say, but they gave blessings. And in the Anandeshwar Mandir, in Udupi, it was announced that the little boy Vasudev was going to be accepting the danda of a sannyasi. So the whole town assembled there for this wonderful event. And when everyone saw this beautiful boy, he was so exquisite, his every limb. He was effulgent like the sun. And he was so humble and so sincere. When he came forward and took the danda from his teacher and accepted the vows with such clear mind and determination, everyone was, their hearts melted. They were mentally worshipping this child. Upon taking sannyas, he was given the name Purna Pragya Tirtha. He became such a great, great student of his teacher. He mastered the scriptures. He was so charismatic when he was just a little boy. His Guru Maharaj decided to make him the next person to be the acharya after himself. So they performed a ceremony and he officially announced. At that time his teacher also gave him the name Ananda Tirtha. So he went on a pilgrimage to South India. He traveled to Kanyakumari. There, because he was preaching so strongly, especially he was preaching against the Mayavad philosophy of Sripad Shankaracharya. Even though he was a boy, the Shankarites were so much fearful of him that one of their best scholars challenged him to a debate, and Purna Pragya Tirtha, who later became known as Madhva Acharya, completely defeated, annihilated all of the misconceptions of Shankara. Then they became very, very afraid. What are we going to do? He went to Srirangam. Everywhere he was going, he was converting so many people to become his followers. One of his closest followers that came just at the beginning of his preaching was named Satyatirtha. His name is intimately related always with Madhvacharya's history. When they went to Srirangam, Madhvacharya, although adoring and worshipping the lotus feet of Ramanujacharya, he considered that Ramanujacharya did not smash the Mayavadi sufficiently. He's too lenient with them. I must write books and I must smash them. Hare Krishna. Then he went back to Udupi and he decided to go to North India to visit the guru of his heart, Vedavyas, the author of all the Vedas. He went with Satyatirtha and some of his other followers. They walked all the way to the high peaks of the Himalayas, where Badrik Ashram is located.
For 7 weeks, he fasted and performed tapasya in front of the beautiful deity of Bhadra Vishal in order to get the darshan of Vedavyas. Then he decided to walk to what is called Uttar Badri, or the upper Badri Gashram, which no man can possibly reach, because that is where Vedavyas was residing at the time. So he told his followers to wait. His closest follower, Satyatirtha, said, no, please, you must let me go with you. He says, you will not be able to survive. No, I must be there to help you and to serve you. So he, with great enthusiasm, Madhvacharya started to walk up these huge mountains through the snow. And Satyatirtha was totally exhausted. Madhvacharya was walking forward very fast. Satyatirtha was way behind, freezing in the snow, practically leaving his body. Madhvacharya looked back at him. And being the avatar of Vayu, he just took his hand and went like this. And Satyatirtha, within a second, just by the airways, ended up again at the deity of Badrikashram, along with his godbrothers. Madhvacharya came to the hermitage of Srila Vedavyasa, and there he fell at his Guru Maharaj's feet, surrendered his life to him with great humility. Vedavyas was so very much happy that Madhvacharya had come, and he sat and studied at the feet of Vyasadeva for some time, and then asked Vyasadeva's permission to read his commentary of Bhagavad Gita, and asked his permission to write a commentary of Vedanta Sutra. And according to what he had heard from Vedavyas, he was given those blessings, and he compiled. The way he would compile was this. He would speak, and Satyatirtha would write. All of the books of Madhvacharya were in this form. He would speak, and Satyatirtha would write. He was so perfect, he would never even have to ask once, what did you say? That was the attention of this great disciple. They came back down to Udupi. On the way, they visited many places. It is explained, he took his disciples to Kurukshetra. When they were in Kurukshetra, in his previous avatar of Bhima, he knew many secrets about Kurukshetra. He took them to a very isolated part of a field, and he dug with his hand into the ground, and there he picked up the club of Bhimasena that he used to kill all the warriors on the battle of Kurukshetra. When his disciples saw this, they became very much overwhelmed with happiness. Then he put the club back into the ground and buried it, and it has never been seen again to this day. When he returned to Udupi, his guru, Achyuta Preksha, he was actually a Shankarite. And he was very much displeased with his disciple's teaching, because his disciple was very upfront, blatantly challenging and defeating Shankara and all of his teachings. So his Guru Maharaj presented some arguments, and after this debate, Achyuta Preksha became the disciple of Madhvacharya. The Guru became the disciple. Of course, Madhvacharya is not an ordinary living being. We should not think that we could do like this. He went on many preaching tours of the South. Actually, the first time, this is a very significant part of Madhva's life, as he was coming down from Badrikashram during his first visit, he visited so many places. One place was on the bank of the Godavari River. There, the two greatest scholars of the day were living. One's name was Shobhana Bhatt, and the other was Swami Shastri. They were Shankarites. They were very eager to defeat the philosophy of Madhvacharya. So they sat on the bank of the holy river Godavari and had debate. And then Madhva began to instruct them and teach them the principles of his Dvaita philosophy. And they, with great, great love and affection, surrendered to him, became his disciples. He soon gave them sannyas. They became two of the greatest of the acharyas of the line. Their names were Padmanabha Tirtha and Narahari Tirtha. So taking many of his followers, by this time thousands and thousands of people were coming to him. He was so illustrious in his mercy, his compassion, his devotion, and his strong, strong philosophical presentation. He would simultaneously melt people's hearts and convince their minds. Then he went again to see his Guru Maharaj, Vedavyas, in Badrikashram. At that time, Vedavyas gave him a very sacred Shalagram Shila that he himself worshipped, which is to this day considered very, very sacred amongst all the followers of Madhvacharya. And Vedavyas gave him blessings to make his commentary and translation of Mahabharata and other great Vedic literatures to prove the Vaishnava conclusions that God is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and we are all His eternal servants. On one occasion, when they were traveling to Badrikashram, there was a Muslim king. This Muslim king was very, very cruel. Anyone who he saw, his soldiers, would forcibly arrest them and make them dig a lake that the king wanted dug. So Madhvacharya and his followers were apprehended by the soldiers and they were told, "You have to dig this lake." Madhvacharya said to the soldiers, "I want to meet your king." They were shocked. This king was very violent and very cruel. So they said, "You know, if you meet him, he may kill you. I want to meet your king." He was so charming to their hearts. They could not refuse him. So the soldiers brought Madhvacharya to the king. The Muslim king greeted him. Upon seeing the effulgent, beautiful form of Madhvacharya, and he began to speak to the king about the philosophy of pure bhakti. When the king heard the preaching of Madhvacharya, he became so much impressed. And Madhva said, "Actually, my dear king, it is the duty of the leader to show the followers how to perform their duties. If you, the king, don't personally show us how to dig this lake, how do you expect us to do it properly?" He was so good at debate, he completely bewildered the mind of the king, and he said, "Yes, you are right." So Madhvacharya said, "So you come and you pick up this shovel and show us how we're supposed to do it." It was so convincing, the king began to dig. And then Madhvacharya and his disciples left to continue their trip to Badrikashram, and the king was left digging the lake himself. On another occasion, they came to one province where there was terrible fighting between Hindus and Muslims. The border was a river. On one side was the Hindus and on the other side was the Muslims. Now the Muslim soldiers would not allow any of the Hindus to cross the river to their side. So boats were banned. There was no chance. Madhva and his followers had to cross the river and go through that province in order to see Guru Maharaj, Vedavyas. So the Hindus were saying, no, no, you cannot go, you will be killed, the soldiers will instantly destroy you. There were no boats. So Madhvacharya told his followers, let's just swim across. It's a very strong river. So Madhvacharya, all of his followers knew swimming. They started by his power, they were swimming across. And the and charmed him so much by his compassionate disposition that the king was convinced by everything he said, and he said, I will divide my kingdom with you and give you a gift of great, great property. Madhvacharya said, I do not want anything. I just want to spread the message of love of God. So he continued. So many wonderful stories of Sripad Madhvacharya. It is described at one time, there was a very, very great, great scholar named Vidyashankar of the Mayavad school. And he chanted Shankarite Sampradaya. They decided something has to be done. He's going to take away all of our followers. So they brought the greatest of all of their scholars, his name was Pundarik Puri, and told him to debate with Madhvacharya. They were debating, but as they were debating, Madhvacharya was winning, so they didn't know what to do. Madhvacharya had a wonderful library of scriptures, like no one else. And with his scriptures, on the basis of Vedic reference, he can support everything he would say. So the Shankarites were so fearful that they stole the whole library just so he would be at disadvantage in the debate. But just by his memory, he still defeated them. But he wanted very much to get his books back. So he found out one king who was a disciple of the Shankarite Guru. He was the Raj of a place called Jai Singha. And he had the books. So Madhvacharya went there. And the king told him that, I want to see what is your philosophy. And his greatest, greatest scholar and minister, his name was Trivikramacharya. He wanted him to have a debate with Madhva to see which philosophy was superior. So for many days, Trivikramacharya debated with Madhvacharya. I think it lasted several weeks, this debate. And ultimately, Trivikramacharya surrendered his life to Madhvacharya and begged him for initiation. That time the king also surrendered and became the disciple of Madhvacharya and gave him all his books back, which were being hidden in a temple in a place called Vishnu Mangala. The son of Trivikramacharya was also initiated by Madhvacharya. His name was Narayanacharya. And he is the person that wrote the book Madhva Vijay, which is the life history of Sripad Ramanuja, Madhvacharya.
Srila Prabhupada in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita gives a beautiful life sketch of Madhvacharya
and then encourages, if you want more information, you should read the Madhva Vijay by Narayan Acharya.
So on Prabhupada's order, we have
read some of that book and we are relating some of the content of that. Madhvacharya was so powerful. One time, the champion wrestler
of the day.
He challenged Madhvacharya to a wrestling match
to see who could have
the best, who could display the greatest strength. So Madhvacharya, very humbly, he said,
"My challenge to you is this.
I will place my toe on the ground
and I challenge you to separate my toe from the ground." So for hours,
this wrestler was just straining and struggling.
He could not budge the toe of Madhva from the ground.
One day, Madhvacharya went
in Udupi to the beach
alongside the beautiful ocean.
And he was singing beautiful songs in glorification of Krishna, meditating on Krishna.
At that time, a boat which was coming from Dwarka
was caught in a storm
and was very much endangered.
Madhvacharya
looked toward the boat, and the captain of the boat looked toward Madhvacharya, and he signaled to him how he could rescue the boat from being caught in the sandbar. So on Madhva's transcendentally merciful advice and by his transcendental powers, the boat was saved, and it came to the shore safely. The boatman had all sorts of wealth and riches in that boat. He said, "You have saved me. I will give you anything on this boat." Madhvacharya said, "You are coming from Dwarka? Perhaps you have some gopi chandan, what we use for tilak." So there was a big block of gopi chandan. It was used to balance the boat. When they took out this block of gopi chandan, it cracked open. And from within, a beautiful deity of Lord Krishna appeared. Madhvacharya immediately began to offer prayers to this deity and asked that it be brought into the city of Udupi. They tried to lift it. 30 men all at one time could not take the deity off the ground. Then Madhvacharya effortlessly picked it up and began to walk to Udupi. And as he was walking, he was singing beautiful poems that he was composing right at that time in praise of Krishna. And these prayers, even to this day, are sung every day by the true followers of Madhvacharya in Udupi. Madhvacharya, it is described, not only was he a great, great philosopher, but he sang so sweetly and beautifully. He was an expert poet and songwriter, and it described that he would dance so gracefully in kirtan that it would enchant anybody's mind who would see him. He loved to perform kirtan, chanting of the holy names. He also directed and wrote many dramas and created a whole cultural revolution of Vaishnavism in Udupi. Spectacular dramas, all based on scriptures, were arranged by Madhvacharya. That deity was installed by Shripad Madhvacharya, and gradually he appointed 8 of his sannyasi disciples to rotate and take the full responsibility of the deity worship. He established very high standards and ordered his 8 sannyasi disciples to maintain those standards and have their disciples continue to maintain these standards generation after generation. To this very day in Udupi, those standards are being maintained. It is quite unique amongst temples in the sense that so many temples today
the Saivite rites are inherited by birth considerations. In many places we find the Goswami caste is because I am the son of him, I have inherited the exclusive rights to worship the deity. But Madhvacharya, he did not concern himself with caste consideration, but rather those who were most qualified disciples, not through birth but through initiation and through taking to the renounced order of life, they were given the exclusive right to continue the deity worship and perform that wonderful service. Sri Padmadvacharya, he taught the Dvaita philosophy, where he emphasized with great, great prominence that the Supreme Lord is a person with a transcendental form, which is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. That he has eternal planets in the spiritual world called Vaikunthas. And that the Brahma-jyoti, the impersonal existence of Brahman, is only the sky surrounding the true resting place and home called Vaikuntha. And there, all living entities who develop pure bhakti can achieve that place and engage in pure, unalloyed, loving service to the Lord eternally. And that that is the ultimate destination. Because the Mayavad philosophy was so much emphasizing that everything is one, Madhvacharya came out with a philosophy where he preached nothing is one. He wanted to create a good balancing effect. He explained the differentiation between the spirit soul, the Paramatma, and the Jivatma. What is the difference? The Paramatma, nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam eko bahunam yogiridati kama. The Paramatma is supreme, the complete whole. And the Jivatma is always subordinate as a tiny little part and parcel of the Paramatma, eternal self. And then he explained this difference is eternal. And then he described the difference between one Jivatma and another Jivatma. No Jivatmas can ever be one. They are eternally different. They are eternally unique. They have their own eternal spiritual personality, form and existence. He taught the difference between the Jivatma and material nature. Material nature is the external inferior energy of the Lord. And the Jivatma is never a part of that material nature. We are not this body and we are never a part of matter. The Jivatma is the superior nature of the Lord. We should never think that we are this body. We should never think that any of the byproducts of this body or any of the acquisitions of this world are our own. It is all the property of the Supreme. Eternal differentiation between the Jiva and matter. And he taught the eternal differentiation between the Supreme Lord Paramatma and Prakriti or matter. Mayadhyakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharachara. Prakriti is always subordinate to the Paramatma. It is always working under his control. He never falls under the control of his illusory energy. Therefore, it is impossible to justify that God can ever fall into illusion. That God can ever forget that he is God because he is always the master of Maya, or material existence, and the illusory energy. So in this way, the Dvaita philosophy taught how everything is uniquely distinct within God's creation. Madhvacharya also taught that within matter, every aspect of matter is different than every other aspect of matter. Every element is different. Dvaita. Transcendental duality. And by preaching so strongly with this undefeatable presentation, he established the true principles of eternal servitorship to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and thus paved the way for the transcendental descent of the Yuga Avatar, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He took Madhva's, he especially was fond of Madhva's worshipping of the deity of Krishna and his utter refutation of Mayavad philosophy. In fact, all the previous acharyas were just setting the stage for the Supreme Personality of Godhead as appearance of Lord Chaitanya. So Madhvacharya was one of the great, great legends of the spiritual history of India. He lived till he was 79 years old. He was born on Dasera, and on this very day, just approaching 80, he was sitting in the Anandeshwar Mandir in Udupi, and he was giving class to his followers on the Aitareya Upanishad, which he was just completing his translation and commentary to. This was one of his favorite books, the Aitareya Upanishad. From it he would establish the principles of pure bhakti. As he was giving his lecture, it is described that the chadar he was wearing, he disappeared. He just disappeared. And his chadar just fell on the platform where he was sitting. Therefore, there is no samadhi mandir for Madhvacharya. And the sitting place where he disappeared from the world is still there in the Anandeshwar Mandir. The Madhvais go there every day, the people living in Udupi, and they worship that sitting place of Madhvacharya. Madhvacharya told his disciples before that soon I will disappear from your vision. The spirit of my teachings will remain with you in Udupi, but my form will be going to Bhadrikashram to reunite with my beloved Guru Maharaj, Vyasadeva. On this day, which is the disappearance of Sripad Madhvacharya, we should very much pray for his causeless mercy, that we can also be empowered to fearlessly serve our beloved Guru Maharaj, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada often in his books quotes the commentaries of Sripad Madhvacharya. And on these days, which are so holy, there is a very special blessing that will come from the personality we are worshipping by praying to their lotus feet to help us and give us support in our devotional service. And there is also a great spiritual potency that purifies the heart when we hear the narrations of the teachings and the life of these great personalities on these holy days. It is our prayer today to all of you to carefully read Srila Prabhupada's books and to understand them with great enthusiasm and to repeat this message in whatever way we can. There is many ways of repeating the message. One of the glorious ways that Srila Prabhupada induced us with so much great desire was to distribute his books. By distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, we are putting Srila Prabhupada's own divine presence in their lives. And anyone who reads these books with an open heart, certainly their lives will be changed. Anyone who touches these books or sees these books, their connection to Krishna is established. What to speak if they purchase them? And to repeat the message of the books, which means we have to personally study them ourselves and learn the art of presenting these teachings as it is to others without interpretation or change.
by Srila Prabhupada's power, can speak through our hearts and our words to transform people's lives. And by our example, by living the teachings of these books, we can transform human society. Example is one of the greatest preaching. We have seen sometimes a mother of a child, just by living by Prabhupada's teachings very carefully, chanting the holy names, being compassionate. So many people become Krishna conscious just by seeing that type of life. And by cooperating together to somehow or other make an impact within this world which is suffering due to so much illusion. To put aside our petty differences for the significant purpose of bringing Srila Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya Madhvacharya's message to the world. In fact, I remember on Madhvacharya's, Sripad Madhvacharya's 750th birthday, I think it was, I was invited to Udupi to attend that function. The function took place at Pajaka Kshetra, the very birthplace of Madhvacharya. One more little story. In Pajaka Kshetra, there is an ancient tamarind tree. Srila Prabhupada tells the story. When Madhvacharya was only about 4 or 5 years old, a very small boy, his father owed a debt to a wealthy man. So this person came to collect the debt on many occasions, but his father honestly and earnestly had no money to pay him. So one day, knowing that Madhvacharya's father was a very, very cultured and pious person, deeply religious, he knew that if a guest comes to your house, until he accepts food or water, the whole family has to fast. Hare Krishna. In the days of culture, this is how they would collect debts. Now we send dacoits and everything else in today's culture. But because people have no integrity. So the person who was owed the debt, he came to his house and he sat at Madhvacharya's doorstep. He said, "Please come in." He said, "I will not come in." "Please take some water." "I will not drink water." "Please take some prasad." "I will not eat prasad." "I will not take a sitting place." "I will not drink water." "I will not eat prasad until you pay my debt." Hare Krishna. This is how things were done in those days. So the whole family was fasting. The father would not take any food or allow anything to be served out until his guest was served. So little Vasudev, he saw what was happening. He was so charming. He told this man, "Please come, I want to show you something." So, all right, so he came. And just in the courtyard, there was a tree, a tamarind tree. And Madhva took the tamarind seeds, picked them up, and in his hand he transformed them into gold coins. Exactly the quantity of gold coins that was owed to this man. He gave him the gold coins. And then the man said to the father, "Okay, I'm leaving. If you want to give me prasad, you could give me prasad." The father said, "What happened?" He said, "Your son just gave me all the gold coins, exactly what you owed me. He's a very good boy." Anyways, at this place, at Pajaka Kshetra, there was a pandal set up. Now there are 12 acharyas of the Madhva line. There were 8 mutts, but later on, 4 more mutts were inaugurated. 8 of the 12 acharyas of the mutts of Madhva were present, sitting on a dais. And each one was speaking the glories of Sripad Madhvacharya. Great, great enthusiasm. And these men are all
philosophers.
A lot of Madhva's philosophy was being spoken. And they wanted me to sit on the raised platform with them, because they consider ISKCON to be
Madhva Sampradaya,
which it is. But of course, it is Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. Madhva Sampradaya, with the addition of the supreme causeless mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So they decided at one point they wanted me to speak. So the two senior most of all the acharyas there, Pejavar Matswami, Vishveshtirtha Maharaj, and Palimar Matswami, who's Pejavar Matswami's guru, they started to introduce the next speaker, who was to be my lowly, insignificant self. But I'd like for all of you to hear how they introduced. They began to praise Srila Prabhupada. They said that A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada has done what no other acharya in the Madhva line has ever done. He has taken the pure, unadulterated teachings of Madhvacharya and spread them to every continent in the world. He said, until him, our teachings has never gone beyond the boundaries of India. But he has done it. And he is inducing thousands, hundreds and thousands of people all over the world to chant Krishna's holy name. Then they said, amongst ourselves, all the acharyas, we have never had the courage to leave India. Therefore, if you put all of us together, we do not equal even one speck of dust at the lotus feet of any one of Srila Prabhupada's disciples who are spreading his teachings all over the world. Srila Prabhupada ki. They could see the power and the mercy of Madhvacharya manifesting so unprecedentedly wonderful through his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Shripad Madhvacharya ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Nanti Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
For further details of this cassette, please contact Radhanath Swami Tape Ministry. Address is International Society for Krishna Consciousness, Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir, 7 KM Munshi Marg, Chowpatty, Bombay 400007, India.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna.